have tofu lettuce cups coming that no one's eating.
Just me?
Oh, it's too much. Oh, God. Happy fucking happy hour. Okay, I'm a filthy... It's Alexander Paul of Baywatch and just general fucking awesomeness and activism. Don't look directly at her. Oh, my God. Hi, Alexandra. How are
so
you?
So funny. We're old friends. Friend.
I know we are. Okay, so can I just say...
Yes.
You were on my late night TV show in 1995. Baywatch was very hot then. David Charvet was on.
Gina Lee Nolan.
And I literally, Vanessa, thought, I've never seen such good-looking humans, like, in person. I can't really look at them.
Can you believe it? Right.
I don't know how to interview them.
You were wearing a short black skirt and heels. And you looked hot.
Well, they were trying to tart me up. For late night. And I was like, oh, please, could you put me on with as many people from Baywatch as possible so I can destroy my fucking self-esteem for the rest of my life? And they were like, yes, yes. Who else could we get on with you?
We're still around. You can interview us all.
No, I remember.
And
it was like,
David Charvet looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, so does Gina. One after the other of you. And I was just like, it's not possible that human beings look like that in person. Because you think, oh, Baywatch, whatever. It's all lighting and stuff. They don't look like that.
No, she's gorgeous.
Well, actually, you know,
Baywatch. It's even worse, people. It's even worse in person.
Baywatch, you know, the budget wasn't that big, so we shot outside. We didn't have fancy lighting. We just had one big key light, and that was it.
Yeah.
And some.
And I love that they found you because somebody was used your same pool and thought you were a good swimmer. I'm like, yeah, that's it.
Well, they asked me to audition. Yeah, they asked me to audition because they thought that they figured I could do the swim part at least.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But what are the chances they're going to find a really fucking great swimmer that also happens to be fucking smoking hot? Because I'm just guessing there's gals at your pool they didn't pick.
Oh, that's... Well, you know, I was not the typical Baywatch actress when I was cast. So,
right.
You know, which has its advantages because people remember who you are.
No, you're a real... You and your husband, who is also startlingly... unbelievably gorgeous and looks like exactly who you would be with. but you're both like triathletes and crazy. I mean, you actually can do that. You actually are a swimmer. I mean, that's what was astounding, right? Is that you were saying that, you know, the new Baywatch movie, you know, the person that's playing you, you said, my advice is learn to swim. It's good if you look like you really can swim.
And I haven't seen the movie, so but I'm sure she does a great job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually a lifeguard, a junior lifeguard,
right.
And was an EMT, so I really knew how to do that.
Did a lot of people ask for mouth to mouth just totally unnecessarily? Did a lot of people just fake like, oh, God, I must be dying? Not really. Huh? Okay.
We did get a lot of letters, by the way, from people who said that they saw the show, and for all the abuse that show got from people in America, people overseas loved it. Unconditionally, but here there's a little bit of sort of disparate. They looked at it down at Baywatch then. Now it's kitschy and cool.
Yeah.
But we did get a lot of letters from people who saved people's lives from watching the show.
And you, I love the story that you actually saved a couple of guest stars' lives. Like they actually couldn't swim.
Well, I had one guest star who claimed I saved his life because you really. Actors will always say they know how to do everything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, right? If someone says, can you use it? You say, yeah, sure.
We've had people on the happy hour. They were like, can you? I'm like, yes, of course I can. And then they show up in the morning. Well, fuck, I don't know how to drive stick. I don't know how to do anything.
Exactly. So one of the questions would always be for the guest stars, can you swim? So, of course, all the actors said, yes, I can swim. Well, I don't think they really understood what it takes to be in the ocean. Right. And also, when you're shooting, you've got to do take after take. And you don't get up into a boat between takes, you have to tread water.
Right.
And then they say action again. So this actor just couldn't do it. And so I had to tow him in. I had to do a lifeguard carry in.
Yeah.
And he was a little embarrassed, so he didn't want the director or anything to know.
No, we're just rehearsing. Please help me.
Coughing up seaweed.
Okay, can I just tell you my other favorite thing really quick? is that you, obviously your character's name was Stephanie, and you said, because Stephanie was a name that I liked, I'd gone to grade school with someone named Stephanie.
And I do, yes. I know. See, if I'd gone to school with you, if I'd known you then, I would have, you know, given you all the credit.
And I really, really, really need a life coach. Only there was someone that was some sort of coach of some kind that could help me. Health coach? You do
health?
You don't
need a health coach. I'm a health coach.
Oh, I do.
Coach.
Oh, no, I do.
You have a gym in your house.
Right.
And
what's
you use
missing?
It.
What's missing? A life coach. Oh,
a health coach. A health coach.
Yes.
I can be your health coach.
Okay.
I'd love to be your health coach.
I'm totally not trying to trick you into doing it for free. What I'm saying is your favorite name is Stephanie. It was your character's name.
I know.
And if there was some poor progressive radio host that you just believed in that worked in her basement, wouldn't it be someone that you just want to help, like an animal, like a wounded animal, like a, just
definitely.
A little like.
Definitely.
Help me.
I can help you. But you're no,
you know
you're in terrific shape.
Well, listen, you haven't seen all of it. It's stuff going on. We'll talk later, health coach. But my point is, my friend Mary Lou Henner has been on the show in the happy hour,
yeah.
And I've never been so terrified to serve cheese in front of someone because she just looks right through your fucking pores, man. She's like, "You just had cheese, didn't you? And you ate meat, didn't you?"
She looks amazing. I actually
right.
Yeah,
I mean, you both
yeah.
look amazing. So I think I gotta yeah. you know suck it up and you know stop eating the. Flintstone side of ribs every day.
She eats this platter of meat. That's
stop it. I do not, Vanessa. Not every day.
Well, you know, I am a vegan in real life.
I know
but
you
as
are.
A health coach, I don't
no
steer
tofu
people.
Cups coming for you.
Oh, that's so thoughtful. I don't steer people to veganism
yeah.
as a health coach because for some people, that's not where they want to be.
Right.
And as a health coach, forcing someone to do something they don't want to do is not the answer to lifelong good
I feel like
habits.
It's a short thing, though. Like, will I look like you? Yes. Okay. I'll do whatever you do. Yes, I'm a vegan then. sorry, I didn't mean to snort on you. Listen, this is, I have to say, so exciting for me
it's
because...
It's amazing she can keep this up, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
like, it's just a patter. It's amazing. Yeah. I'm very impressed.
Well, no, but listen, let me just look at... Can you see
funny.
All this I have about you? Because I don't know
well,
if people
because
know
I'm old.
That... Because I know you through my friend Marcia, who's sitting right behind you
yes.
in kind of a creepy way. But she's... She's a political nerd like you and me, and I did not know you were a political nerd and activist and all that stuff.
Yeah, probably on your late night talk show we didn't get into that.
No, we did not. I wasn't even political then.
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But anyway, but I mean, you've just done amazing things in terms of, I love, where was this? Last weekend, you went to 3 protests in 3 days. A protest against SeaWorld, the tax march, Sunday night vigil for pigs being brought to slaughter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was that was last weekend, or 10 days ago. Uh-huh.
That's
because there's so much going on in this world that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
So.
But you, I mean, I because we had Morgan Fairchild on here,
mm-hmm.
who is also a nerd. Like,
oh, she's amazing.
She's just a nerd, though.
Yeah.
She's a political nerd. She's really smart. She's done all this amazing work. It's the same thing, right? And weren't you?
Wasn't
she in Paper Dolls? You were in Paper Dolls.
I was in Paper Dolls.
Oh,
my God.
But Morgan, 1 degree of separation. Okay.
But Morgan was in the series. I was in the television movie upon which the series was based.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
But Morgan and I know each other a lot from political things.
I'm sure.
In the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah. Well, now I'm basically transfixed with her because not just because she's incredibly smart and an amazing activist and actress, but she also, right, Vanessa?
Oh, no.
Well, I accidentally watched a softcore lesbian porn movie, totally by accident.
She was in
on
it?
Vacation. Yes, she plays the madam. She plays the madam of the agency that sets up the right.
Yes,
woman with the
and
other
this
woman.
This was accidental.
Well, no, but she also has dolls.
What we said.
She has dolls in a movie of all the her girls that work for her. And then, like, she has a scene where, like, one tear when the one girl leaves because she falls in love with the woman. It's fantastic. Anyway, I'd
love to see it.
I'll give you a copy.
I don't want to take your copy, your well-worn copy away from
you,
Stephanie.
Listen, let's get to your issues, but I do understand that you have an identical twin sister named Carolyn.
Caroline.
She's not by any chance gay, is she? I'm just asking for a friend.
She is gay.
What?
Yes. My identical twin sister's gay. And it's awesome. I love having a gay twin because otherwise she'd just be
another
hetero.
Wait a minute. Why wasn't I told about this, Marcia? I'm sorry.
She's actually engaged.
Oh, I'm so happy for her.
Well, good for her. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm really happy.
But she is great. She got engaged.
Well, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, but you'd like her a lot.
I'm sure you would.
You could actually interview her because she's a writer.
Oh, okay.
She's written quite a few
books. All right, I certainly hope she'll bring her fiance. I'm very bitter. I've been bitter since the third grade. Very, very bitter, Vanessa. That's fantastic. All right, let's move on. let's just work through my pain. Okay. Oh, my God. I didn't realize the numbers, though. Seriously, you've been in like 100 feature films and TV programs.
Yes, I have. I've been around for a while, over 30 years. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, which is fantastic since you look 20. Okay.
Yeah, so I've been very fortunate.
Do you get annoyed that because Baywatch was just so huge, you're like, oh, it's Lieutenant Stephanie Holden.
Oh, that people always... The first thing they think of is Baywatch. No, I don't actually. I don't mind it. It's actually easier because what would happen before I got on Baywatch is that people would say, "You look familiar to me."
Right.
What did you? Do you have? Did you go to so and so high school? And I'd say no, and they'd say, "Well, do you live in the Valley?" No, and I would go through this litany. And one time I was in the bathroom of a movie theater.
Yeah.
And this person did it to me, and a friend of mine was with me. She said, "Why do you make people do that? Why don't you just tell them right away you're an actor?" And I thought, you know what? She's right. I'll just say right away I'm an actor. That will stop because I would think, anyway.
Right. So now people always think, oh, you look like my somebody I know, but cousin somebody, something.
So now if someone does that, I just say, oh, I was on Baywatch. They go, oh, and they leave. Then they go.
Right.
They're happy.
Yeah. That's weird because you don't look like anyone knows.
Or I would say, well, I was in this, and they'd say, no, I didn't see that. You'd have to go through your whole resume.
Right. Right.
So now I just go, yeah, I was on Baywatch. Even if they haven't seen it, they figure that
just cut to the chase. Just all right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Does that happen to you?
Once.
Stop.
No, when I had the late night show, I remember this guy staring at me.
I think it would happen often to you, Stephanie.
And I've heard that a couple of times. He was like, has anyone told you you look exactly like Stephanie Miller? I was like, yes.
Yes, well, I have a story about that for me. It can be very painful sometimes. I was on a flight to Colorado, which was to Aspen. My husband's from Aspen, from L.A., and the flight attendant came up to me and said, you look like that actress. No, he said, you look like that B-movie actress, except for you look better than she does. My God. And then,
like, you know what?
And then my husband is like, all of a sudden, he's all... like ready to defend me.
Right. Yeah.
And he thought, what is this guy? It's a flight from LA to Aspen. He doesn't think an actor's on the plane. And then the guy goes, well, why are you slumming it back in economy? And so I actually started to weep because it hurt so much that he called me a B movie actress who didn't look good on TV and who apparently was awful.
Aww.
I think I was.
You know what? I want to punch him and drag.
Where's
this
guy at?
You know what? I want him to get bit by a scorpion, and then I want to drag him off that plane, and then I want to hit him with a stroller. That's what I want to do to that motherfucker, and then I want to hit him with.
It was a United flight, actually.
Source of all evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I know. It's weird, right? Like people think you don't have feelings, or you know. Yeah.
He just kept. Oh, then he said, "Would you?" Well, he recognized that he might have could have put it in his mouth. He said, "Can I send you a drink?" And my husband said, we don't drink because, you know, we don't drink.
Because we don't drink.
And he just was fuming at this guy who couldn't get his foot out of his mouth.
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone he's dated looks exactly like you. Okay. So, I mean, it's just amazing, right? People are and it's gotten worse. I love your political tweets because I feel like Donald Trump, it's like made people feel like it's okay to be just a fucking dickhead to everybody in the world, like publicly and otherwise. I mean, you've seen all these... You know, whether it's a white supremacist, you know, sucker punching a woman at Berkeley. Like, I just feel like he's in, you know, Patton Oswalt. Did you see about his, you know, someone
his wife
tweeted him about his dead wife? And he said, and that guy got fired. And he's like, Trump supporters are going to learn on the other side of a bunch of broken marriages and lost jobs and fists that only Trump, you know, that shield only applies to him. It doesn't empower everyone to be a jerk.
Yeah. No, I think it's incumbent upon us who didn't vote for Trump to act with dignity and civility and kindness just to show.
You said that. I love this. You quoted somebody. Hang on. Yeah, I've got a lot. Hang on. I've got a lot of.
I'm not a big tweeter.
I have a lot of.
We have a dossier on you.
I have a dossier. Gosh. No, but I mean, part of it, I think you were talking about your being a vegan. But it just struck me in the age of Trump. You said one of the greatest pieces of wisdom I ever heard was from Ingrid Newkirk, When asked what the one thing people can do to save the planet, she responded, kindness, kindness, kindness. Oh, if we put kindness first, most of the world's problems will be solved. And I feel like that's what we're up against. It's not just love trumps hate. It's kindness trumps just meanness.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I was looking at, you know, we were talking about Aaron Moran dying and Scott Baio, Trump jerk, you know, just, oh, you know, you do drugs and drink, you're going to die. Before he even knew that she died of stage four cancer, you know, when you just go like,
I don't
just
even
don't
know
be
how
a fucking jerk.
Is that how she died?
Stage four cancer and she died holding her husband's hand.
Yeah, with a feeding tube in her mouth. Like Scott Baio's shooting his mouth off, you know, being judgmental about drugs and drinking. And you just, you know, and Aaron Moran's brother, I mean, just went ape shit on Twitter, but good for him because he just said, you know, I mean, it, you know, can you give somebody's family like 1 second to grieve before you judge, you know? And I think it was Allison Arngrim from Little House on the Prairie said, I know it doesn't sound tragic or sexy that she died, you know, taking care of a mother-in-law, you know, with a husband who adored her in a small town in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds really, you know, horrible to you, but she died of stage four cancer and she went to the trailer home to take care of her husband's mother. And it's just, but I feel like that's part of this whole right wing thing. I'm like, is this the compassionate conservatism we've been told about?
Oh, that I haven't heard that phrase in a long time.
Right. But I mean, look at Donald Trump Jr.'s out shooting pregnant prairie dogs in Montana this past weekend. And I mean, look, I'm not a hypocrite in that I'm not a vegan, I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't shoot animals just for fun to watch them die and hold them up as trophies for pictures. Like, there's just a level over there of just jerkness and meanness, don't you think?
I do think there is a lack of respect for the other, whether it's an animal or someone who's not a white billionaire.
Yeah.
I do. I think there's a lack of empathy and, gosh, it's just, well, I
remember the Republican guy there was like, oh, you know, because there was criticism, and he said, oh, well, if people only knew how much fun it was to shoot prairie dogs, they wouldn't say that. I'm like, what kind of fucking sociopath calls it fun?
Because it's not about
to shoot
that.
Defenseless animals just for sport.
You sort of missed the point, I think.
Yeah.
Because no matter how fun it is, it's not, you know, kind or even ethical to those. Well, certainly to me. But so.
But you like you really walk your talk. You became a vegetarian when you were 14, and then when you were 26, you stopped wearing leather, wool, silk. You put in all your acting contracts. You were not wearing fur or using any makeup tested on animals, right? And then you became a vegan, and you said, you know, you don't know what took you so long. You regretted all those years that you kept even dairy in your diet.
Yeah, I do. I was. It's one of my biggest regrets, actually, is I've only went vegan 7 years ago, and I had been vegetarian for 33 of them, and hadn't worn animals or used animal products.
Right.
Or things tested on animals since the 80s. But just the dairy was little. It was hard for me to get out because I had eating disorders when I was a teenager. Yeah. My excuse was that if I restricted myself by taking dairy out, that I might go back to my crazy ways.
I've been there. Yep. Yeah.
But really what I found was that when my diet was more aligned with my values, I just became more sane about diet.
Vanessa, we're going to, our next happy hour, we're going to have a cheese intervention with Mary Lou Henner and
You know,
Alexander
cheese,
Paul.
Mary Lou might have told you this, but cheese is addictive. I mean, it really is. It
right.
Has
I'm going to France, though, in the summer. Is this good? Can I just wait? Can we do
wait
it till the fall?
After.
When you're my health coach.
After.
You know what I tell people if they want? They say, I want to go vegan, but I can't give up cheese. I say, you know what? Don't give up cheese then.
Right.
Give up everything else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, keep your cheese if you want to.
Yeah.
But you will help so many animals just by giving up those things you don't really care about.
Right. 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 Okay. All right.
So that's
she's already health coaching. I'm like, okay, okay, all right, okay.
Where are you going in France? Tell me.
I'm going. Oh,
you're going
mind.
With Marcia?
No,
never
mind. She gave me the. We don't know yet. I don't know. I think I'm.
Shh.
What? Okay. Listen. So.
You won't say. I know you're gonna.
So
have
wait,
an awesome
you've been married
time.
Since 2000.
We've been together since 1995. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I met him. He's Vanessa. Exactly what you'd think. You were just like, it's like if you look at both of them at the same time, it is like looking into an eclipse with not the right glasses.
Right. Just
my
blinded
husband
by
is
the
wonderful.
Right.
He's really, he's just such a wonderful
No, he seems like
yeah,
it.
He yeah, he seems like it. Yeah. In addition.
I never wanted to get married.
No? Why?
It just seemed like everybody just wanted me to join their hell. Like, because married people didn't seem happy. They seemed like they were trapped. Plus, I didn't understand why. I thought people stayed together just because they were married.
Right.
That didn't seem like a very good reason.
Right.
Like, so that ended up just with a lot of unhappy people. But what I realized is that that I'm glad I got married to Ian.
Right.
Because we make our own definition of marriage. But also there are quite a few happy yeah. married people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys bond, as most couples do, with wanting to, you know, swim 26 miles in the ocean and then run
that is
47
very
miles. And then also, that's what they do. That's their thing.
No, it's,
all right, that's like foreplay for them. Yeah. Don't judge,
the couple
Vanessa.
That does sports together stays yeah. together.
You're a dedicated, accomplished yeah. triathlete. You did the World Ironman Triathlon yes. Championships in Hawaii. That's a 2.44 mile swim, for those of you keeping track, 112 mile bike ride, and a 26 mile 2.2 marathon, which you completed in 13 hours. And yeah, I think that would take me maybe 13 years. Yeah,
can I bring floaties?
Can you wear water wings?
Yeah, I did do the Ironman. My husband is a triathlon coach. That's
yeah.
what he does for
okay.
his. But we did that Ironman in 1997, and I had knee surgery about 6 years later because
yeah.
I just ran too much. So I don't do triathlons anymore, but he does. He's actually training for an Ironman
yeah.
right now.
Your muscle tone is really, really intimidating. And I mean that in a way that I love you and I adore you, worship your work, and I am so intimidated right now. Okay.
I swim a lot. That's why. Swimming
right,
is
that's
great.
It.
And you have a pool, so how
right?
is that?
Do you I have an endless pool. It's like you can
oh,
swim
that's
against
so
the
great.
Current.
And do
mm-hmm.
you use it?
No.
Well,
when you're my health coach, everything's
right.
going to change for the better.
Exactly.
She's going to throw out the cheese. She's going to swim every day.
Your identical twin sister's fiance is going to be. See ya.
Oh, boy.
That reminds me when I asked Aisha Tyler. She's like, oh, my sister's gay. I was like, does she look like you? She's like, no.
Aisha Tyler is awesome.
She's
I
fantastic.
Could easily fall
Same
in
thing.
Love with her.
Fierce actress, activist, mm-hmm. amazing
yeah.
friend. Yeah. So we have something else in common. Your producer and manager was Daniel Sladek,
yeah.
who is my good friend, producer of Prayers for Bobby, about,
yeah.
You know, God, Sigourney Weaver. What an amazing film,
yeah.
right?
That was a story about a very Christian family whose son came out as gay and,
yeah.
the mother's, and after he had committed suicide, the mother's yeah. struggled to come to terms with it.
Yeah.
And with her church's doctrine against gays.
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
And
she
has become
and
part of PFLAG. And that scene of her right. speaking, is the Sigourney Weaver, you know, scene of the mother speaking at the, you know, town hall or whatever it is at the end of the movie. Just such one of the most moving things I've seen. But anyway, but so that's we have Daniel and you founded
and
Young Artists
Marcia,
United.
We all have Daniel in common.
I know.
Marcia,
I know.
I, yeah.
yeah. But you guys founded Young Artists United. You're helping teenagers in need. But how do you have time for the amount of causes that you're? It's amazing.
Well, remember this is over a 35.
And you're in jail
period.
Most of the time. Let's just say.
So some of it I have been in jail for. Yes, yes, but. But
in a good way.
You know, between working out and acting, then there's time for some, you know, some activism.
Listen,
you know,
that would be our trade. That would be our trade. You're my health coach, and then I'm just available for bail whenever you need it.
Oh, that sounds like a great trade. Because right now, it's a lot of things to be
I'll
arrested
be like,
for.
Oh, Alex Sanders in jail. I gotta. All right, we gotta go. Okay.
Well, a lot of my social life comes from the people I've met, like Marcia,
right.
through activism. Or
yeah.
We've done activism together.
Yeah.
So I get to meld that part of my
right.
life, which is really
so
nice.
So you spent 5 days in federal jail for protesting the war in Iraq.
Yep.
Is there anything you can tell me for just, you know, for just dreams later about prison?
You know what the interesting thing?
What? What? Stop it.
What kind of dream is that?
Prison fantasies are big.
Yeah.
I guess, along with the
Listen,
Bordello
if I can't,
fantasy.
If I can't have her sister,
Fairchild.
Just give me something. Just tell me what prison was like.
Yeah, not very sexy.
No?
No. No, but what I found interesting was that there was one TV, of course, on the floor, and they all watched Law & Order.
Oh.
It was really interesting.
That's
yeah.
funny
of all
enough,
the shows. And ironic.
Yeah,
and ironic,
they,
yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the shows.
I guess
shows,
that's
too.
What you know, and... So
that's ironic. Now, you've been honored by the ACLU as Activist of the Year for your history of fighting for the environment, voting rights, peace issues, you environmental activism. You won the International Green Cross Award. You walked across America for over 5 weeks on the Great Peace March for global nuclear disarmament. Oh, this is exhausting. You've been arrested over a dozen times for protesting at the Nevada nuclear site, sit in for AIDS patients to access fast track pharmaceutical drugs. You've been driving an electric car since 1990. Yeah. Dear Jesus.
He's perfect.
Is you exactly.
I'm
is
far from
perfect.
Is there
any way that you are not designed to make us all feel bad about ourselves?
No, I am far from perfect. Marcia knows that. Right,
no.
Marcia?
No. No, that's not what she says. She says only amazing things about you. I'm sorry.
I hate her, so.
I'm sorry.
No, what, you know what?
When did your activism start? I mean, where does that come from?
My mom was always the kind of person who always voted, and she gave blood regularly.
Right.
And she volunteered at the nursery school and things like that. So she did community activism. She wasn't a sign waver like her kids. Mm-hmm. All of us kids are sort of loud activists.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine not being an activist. When I was in my 20s, anyone who didn't want to volunteer, I thought what were they doing for fun in their life?
Where did your equally hot lesbian sister and you grow up? I don't mean to be stuck on one subject.
That's
but
quite
also,
right.
There
I'm
was
happy.
A...
I talked to her on the way over here. Actually,
really? So, yeah. Really? Give her my best.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Now,
we grew up in New England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mostly.
Okay. Where, but
so we
where?
Travel a little bit. In West Cornwall, Connecticut.
Probably didn't matter. You just probably swam anywhere else you needed to be.
And then I went to high school in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we went to different schools. We were raised, like my mom wanted, even though we're identical, which we found out later.
Right.
My mom raised us because she wanted us to be individuals. So she raised us. We didn't go to the same schools generally.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. And wait, is her brother too? Yes.
Yeah,
Jonathan Paul?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a younger brother.
And what does he do?
He now works for, I told somebody and he corrected me about how to say it. Now I don't know how to say it. But anyway, it's sustainable forestry.
Of course, it's something equally. So, he's probably also genetically superior and does something amazing for the planet.
He's
okay,
yeah.
Alexandra, this is exhausting. I mean, in a good way. So, yeah. Wait, what did your parents do?
My mom, my mom raised us until my parents got she and my dad, who was a investment banker, in New York City, got divorced, and then she became a social worker.
Okay. But you, I think I was reading this other, what you just said, I was reading the other thing where you're talking about your mom being a feminist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember, but when my parents got letters, it would always say Mr. and Mrs. Mark Paul. It was like my mother didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so she really, she just was, helped me. She wasn't an overt feminist, but she was liberal. She was liberal. My dad was conservative, very conservative.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was aware of politics. And all of us kids went over to the liberal side. And my mother always said how much she admired my father for still supporting us, even though we were doing things that completely opposite of his politics.
But you know what's so interesting is, you know, people will go, oh, you know, feminists and you're on Baywatch. But, you know, it is interesting. I love this piece about you having advice for you, the person that plays you in the new Baywatch movie. You said you should learn how to swim really well. You gotta look like a real lifeguard. And you were talking, you know, and then they talked about you saving guest stars, but that you also were saying it actually wasn't like, you know, tits and ass and bikinis. You were wearing like real lifeguard swimsuits and you were an actual swimmer and an actual athlete.
Well, I always think it's funny when people say, oh, yeah, that show, they always wear bikinis. Well, for one thing, if you say that lifeguards are wearing bikinis, they would, I know they're not watching the show because we never wore bikinis. We wore one piece like the lifeguards do on these California beaches. But also, what are we supposed to wear? I mean, we're on a beach.
Yeah.
Save people. So I never quite understood that.
Pantsuit? You talked about David Hasselhoff being hilarious, that he helped you, you know, through. You were talking about a scene where there was a fake shark circling and...
Yeah, we were shooting in December, and contrary to what most people believe, the ocean is really cold off the
really
coast
cold.
Of California,
yeah.
But in December, it's really cold.
Yeah.
And he was able to, we had both fallen off a cruise ship, so he was in a tux, so he was able to have a wetsuit underneath his tux, but I was wearing some flimsy little dress, so I couldn't wear a wetsuit, and I was freezing, and he just kept making jokes, and so I was able to laugh like crazy. Because we did our own stunts.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, we also did all our old swimming and our stunts, because unless there was fire or high falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I bet you kicked the fake shark's ass. And you also,
yes.
weirdly enough, we're in Sharknado 4. You had a cameo.
I did, and I did not kick the shark's ass there. I did get eaten by sharks.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I only do well with ocean sharks, not land sharks. Or tornado sharks, or whatever they are.
Like land sharks from SNL? Knock, knock, knock. Land shark. Who's there? I just, like, your whole, it's not just Paper Dolls, American Flyers with Kevin Costner, Dragnet with Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd, 8 Million Ways to Die with Jeff Bridges and Andy Garcia, Stephen King's Christine, Spy Hard with Leslie Nielsen. I mean, here, I think people, that's an amazing resume.
I have, it's amazing maybe to you and I, but when I talk to young people today, anybody under 25, they don't know any of those names.
Oh, my God.
Except for Tom
really?
Hanks. Yeah,
I would believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's why fucking Donald Trump is president, you dumb shit.
So, yeah, I did a couple movies with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
I don't know really who he is.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's okay.
But do you have a favorite? Do you have favorite, like, experiences beyond Baywatch? I mean,
Baywatch,
any of those
you know,
movies?
I just loved shooting that show. People were surprised that I liked it. They would come up to me, you know, without knowing that they were sort of not being very tactful. Like, you're on that show.
Yeah.
Why are you on that show?
Yeah.
Because they did. They thought it was incongruent to my personality,
yeah.
Which is very sort of earnest and serious. And so this kind of fluffy entertainment, they didn't think I... But, you know, that's what I've done my whole career, a lot of Lifetime movies.
Yeah.
And I really like that stuff.
Yeah.
I really like doing things. It doesn't have to have meaning because I have so much meaning outside
my
acting career. I don't have to put... I can do stuff... Just plain
and unlike
entertainment.
A lot of other people, you know, you really use that for good. You use your superpowers for good, is my point.
Oh,
but you use your fame for causes that you really, truly, like, deeply believe in. You know, I hate to say it, but a lot of people do it for photo ops on the red carpet and for publicity.
And
but,
you know,
like, you've obviously always believed in it before acting, and you use that now to...
And I probably don't use it enough. I remember when I was arrested for protesting the war in Iraq. I was arrested
fantastic.
A couple
More
times.
More prison stories. Uh-huh.
And
then what happened?
Most people were against the war then because it was the first day of bombing. And then 3 weeks later, I also protested again. So most people were for the war. And I was very much was against it. But I thought that I would hurt the peace movement if I came out because people would just go, oh, that woman from Baywatch. So I never sought publicity for it. Now I think it might have been good to state it out loud because so few people were stating it out loud.
Isn't it particularly just irritating to you that they say that, like, celebrities, actors, why should celebrities have a voice? When Donald Trump is fucking president and Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor of California, and I mean, really? I mean, there are so many people like you, whether it's you or Morgan Fairchild or you name it, you know, Aisha Tyler, a lot of our friends that are beautiful actresses, whatever, but they're crazy smart and moral and activists and all of that. And why is it that we get dismissed on the left when it's okay that some reality show lunatic is president, right?
That's not okay with me.
Right, but doesn't that irritate you that, you know, they're like, oh, you know, you have to worry about whether you're going to be taken seriously when, you know, you guys are so much smarter. Not just Donald Trump, but a lot of the... I mean, really? You've got fucking Chachi? You've got...
Yeah, well, he couldn't get very many other people, so...
Right.
I know, well, now I feel like I have, you know, and I did then even, because I had been involved with peace issues for years.
Right.
And so, decades.
Right.
So I went to my first peace protest when I was a teenager. So I have, you know... credentials.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned stuff about actors doing doing things for charities for publicity.
Right.
I was stunned when I first heard that. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't that long ago that
it feels set up like by a publicist.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, go to this thing and get your picture taken because you know, and meanwhile, you're in the trenches doing this for years, getting arrested. Which I want to hear more about, but still.
You know, there are people who actually call media outlets and go, hey, my client's going to be here.
Right.
Why don't you want to grab a photo?
Yeah,
right.
No, she goes very
smart. Vanessa's worked at TNZ and all over the place.
Like, I had a brief detour in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about, like, you know, and it's all very, what you do is so genuine and it comes from the heart. And that's what's so crazy about it, because you have people who just, they do it for the photo, photo op.
Right.
And it's so disingenuous. And I think that stuff kind of hurts.
Yeah.
The cause. But what you're doing is obviously... Well, it's amazing.
Your activism has included war and peace, electric cars, animals, voting, overpopulation, simple living. You were a spokesperson for the Volt, right? Way back in 2011. You were in Who Killed the Electric Car with our friend Ed Begley Jr., who's also my friend.
Love Ed. He's great.
Oh, Ed is amazing. He's I've been driving electric cars since 1990, for 27 years. So a long time.
Yeah.
I think I might be the woman in America who's been driving electric cars the longest.
Since 1990.
A lot of guys were, but not women.
Yeah.
That was after the Exxon Valdez spilled. Yeah. And I was all haughty about, I can't believe the Exxon. Let's boycott Exxon. And then I realized, that tanker was out there for my car. So I decided to get an electric car.
Yeah.
So
walking the talk.
Yeah.
Wait, so what was I going to say? Yeah. I love that your tweets, obviously, because I didn't realize that you were that like political, but you're tweeting all the same stuff I am. Why did Comey tell the world last summer about the FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton, but not about his investigation into Trump? You said, in a unanimous decision, judges declined to block a lower court ruling that suspended the travel ban. Hooray. You were at the LAX protest.
Yes.
Thank you for doing your homework,
by the way. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, it's so funny. I obviously had had you on for Baywatch, and then I knew about you through Marsha and your activism and all that. I didn't know the breadth of it. And it really is, like Vanessa said, it really is, just heartwarming and amazing for us, because I think that you're such a powerful voice. And even the stuff you're doing now, the health coaching, it seems like you really believe in it. You obviously live it, and you really believe in it, you know, when you're coaching people all over the world, right, by Skype or by phone. Like, tell us about that.
Well, I really wanted to do something that I knew I could work on regularly through till I'm 75.
Right, right.
And I'm not so sure that acting will do that for me. So I wanted to have something that I could do also. And I have a film coming out and another film that I'm going to be doing next month. But
wait, I have that. What's the film coming
out? I'm sure you have it.
Perfect Baby is out this summer, everybody.
Yes. And I'm doing something called Say Yes in May. But still, the roles aren't coming as much as they were, and they're not lead roles. So if they are, they're smaller. So right, I want to do things. I don't want to wait around.
Yeah.
So I love being an actor.
Yeah.
But I thought, what do I want to do? And women, I understand the pain that women go through with image issues.
When you talked about the eating disorder, I'm like, yeah, me too. I'm like, literally every woman I know has had either an eating disorder or some kind of body issue or eating issue at some point in their life.
Yeah, especially American women, especially in cities like LA, but all over the country.
Yeah.
And so because of my past and my self-loathing that I've had about my own body and not eating healthily and now eating very healthily and not struggling, I feel like I can really help other people. So I have a lot of empathy about that to help them get their diet and exercise on track. And it won't look like my diet and exercise. It will look like their diet and exercise.
Right. Yeah. I had that same thing when you said the thing about, I can't quit eating this because then that's going to be – it's going to trigger me to binge because, if I say I can't have this or this, that'll trigger this. And I get that whole thing. I mean, I think that a lot of people, most women do. I think that, we've all been exposed, like we were growing up, we're all exposed to magazine images, television images, whatever. And I feel like is there one woman if you went, do you love everything about yourself? Do you think there's anything wrong with yourself? Is there one woman that would go, no, it's all great. It's all great.
Well, actually, a friend of mine who wasn't born here and who came here when she was older, she doesn't have any eating stuff. She's the only woman I know. And she wasn't born here. Yeah. She wasn't raised here.
Right.
But men also have more. So I noticed my husband, he doesn't talk about himself in a negative way ever. And it's not that he's cocky. He just doesn't occur to him. And we were sort of taught to downgrade ourselves.
Yeah.
So because if we were too powerful, that was threatening.
Yeah.
And we felt also that it wasn't feminine. And so we get these messages that we should be not too great.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because Marsha's right behind you. She said that to me a million times. You've got to stop this negative talk about yourself.
Oh. Well, we're taught to do that.
Right.
Probably because you're so powerful, beautiful, smart.
Yes. Here I am in my basement.
Successful.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, she's downgrading herself
already.
That you,
when she came in, she
sure.
goes, this is great. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm sure it's the fanciest set you've ever been on.
No, I love it. Are you kidding? And it's a beautiful area, too.
Thank you.
But if we're too powerful, we're worried that people won't like us.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
AlexandraCoaching.com. that's it. If you want
to go to my website, I give a free 20-minute consultation for anyone who wants to learn about coaching or see if it will work for them.
Right.
I just need to get to her level. I feel like she's just an amazing person.
Right. I just feel like if we touch her, if we just
rub
her
off on us,
she's like some sort of magic. Spend more time with me, you will learn all my stuff.
Hang on, I have a couple other things. Hang on. I also saw you were talking about that you actually really bonded with your Baywatch co-stars. You're still close to a lot of them.
Yes, I am.
That's a weird experience, right? That kind of, you know, thing, that phenomenon you experience together.
Well, yeah, a lot of people would ask, oh, do you guys fight, or is there what's this drama on the set? And there wasn't any. And a lot of it had to do with Hasselhoff being such a good-natured, positive man learned his lines, and he was always showed up on time. And so those of us who, it was an ensemble cast, but we were definitely below him, he just set the tone. And if he's setting the tone like that, nobody else.
So indeed, no one hassled the Hoff, is what you're saying?
No one has. We loved him. Yes, we loved him. We were very close. And we're still close. I got an email from him this morning, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell him I said hi. can you get him on the happy hour next week? Okay.
I'm sure he would love to do your show, Stephanie.
Oh, my God. Let's do this. But I love what you said in this one interview. You said, as a feminist myself, Baywatch was a win for women in the 90s. You said, you know, people like to jeer at all the skin, but we were on a beach, for God's sakes, what do they want us to wear? And, you know, the fact that you wore actual, you know, rescue suits and did actual rescue, I think you're right.
Well, let me tell you why.
You know what I love about that is you're grabbing your power, woman.
Thank you.
Girls. Who won the world? Girls.
Girls. The reason I think that it was a win for feminists was several pronged. But one of them was that all the women on that show had equal jobs to men.
Right.
Which was not usual back then. Right. And there were as many women on the show as there were men. Another thing, we weren't girlfriends hanging on to the man who played the lead. So the roles were equal. The jobs we had were equal. The rescues we had were equal. And we also went into countries like Iran, illegally, but they saw us. Iran, we were the first American show in mainland China.
Yeah.
And so we helped other women also, I believe, see that women could have jobs and be treated with respect, even if they weren't wearing, totally covered up, wearing a burqa or whatever.
Right. I love that you had appeared in a deleted scene from Borat, which I wish we had seen. It was in the DVD extra, but that, when Borat shoots his own version of Baywatch, which is a poor man's Baywatch with goats and trash on the beach, a power plant in the background.
Yeah.
And the joke was that he couldn't get Pamela, so he got you.
Yes. You know, it's funny because their people called my people and said, we want to be in this. They need a Baywatch actress and they want you. And I said, have they ever seen Baywatch? Because if they want a Baywatch actress, they don't want me. And my agent goes, oh, no, they want you. And I thought, uh-oh, why do they want me? And so I gave him such a hard time that when I actually showed up, and I wasn't familiar with his work then.
Yeah.
He'd done the Ali G stuff, and I wasn't familiar, so I had to watch it. He's funny and talented, but when I showed up on the set, he seemed so terrified of me because I gave him such a hard time about, like, tell me why you want me. What are we going to be doing? But we had fun. We had fun.
I got to get the DVD extra now because
I think they part of it was on there. Yeah, they
so included the new movie. I was in the airport, and it's like that's all there is.
Like, oh, is that right? The Baywatch movie
and what's his name?
Zac Efron
and the whole murals. And I know he said that the new movie is way dirtier. The TV show. He said there's a lot more gratuitous boobs, bums, abs, whatever per minute that you can imagine. The plot was important, but don't get me wrong. So was the sorting out of our slow motion runs.
He's funny. I think I read the script. It's very different. They didn't have to be called Baywatch. It's about a bunch of lifeguards.
Right.
There was nothing after that. Besides our character names, there's not much in common.
Right.
With the television series, of course, it's dirtier because we were a TV series in the 90s. So, and we had to cater to the sensibilities of our foreign viewers because they were very important to Baywatch. So we didn't even shoot. We didn't even point guns on our show.
Yeah.
Because England didn't like it and they were a big buyer, et cetera. So, yeah, this one is funny. And Dwayne Johnson, I think, is great. I think he's going to be terrific. And
I think
it's going to be funny. And I'm happy that my character is in the show.
Yeah. I know. And you gave her the advice to learn to swim. She's probably like, what?
What?
Swim. Really? Is that required?
I sent her flowers on the first day and just said, good luck. I hope you have a good time on the movie as I did on the series.
Aww.
Yeah.
And you are obviously happily married. I met your amazing husband. Yeah. No kids? You never wanted kids?
No kids, no. And I think I never wanted kids because of my concern about human overpopulation on the planet. So,
yeah.
And we considered adopting.
Yeah.
And actually, Marcia and I talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but interestingly, my husband then didn't want to have children at all. And so we've decided to be child-free. And I think, gosh, that's
me too, but only because I'm a giant loser.
No.
And your hot identical sister is not marrying me, but some other hot woman, presumably.
I think that's one of the reasons why my activism is so, you know, important, because other people have, it's important to have something bigger than yourself in your life.
Yeah.
And other people have children and I don't. And
yeah.
My husband doesn't. So we have other things that we do that give us a lot of fulfillment.
Right. Well, obviously you give like so much energy to so many causes. I mean, I just think it's, you know, they always say that thing like, oh, if you can save one person. I mean, I think of all the causes you work on and all the people that you are affecting, you know, through your coaching and your activism. I mean, it's amazing.
My husband was just saying, Ian, his name is.
Yes, I know.
He was saying last week, is the world better than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago? I mean, the population has gotten larger, so
you must
certainly
be
not doing much work there. And you know, animals are getting...
You must be as depressed as we are, though, about Trump. I mean, the good news is the resistance is working. The bad news is he's still there, and it is fucking terrifying.
Yeah,
man.
I'm not depressed. I'm scared about, like, North Korea.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed that our country voted for him. You know, I never watched Fox.
Well, they didn't.
I never watched
Russia
Fox.
Installed him, but let's not... We'll talk about that
well,
later.
Yes, well, I agree with you. I agree with you there. I never watched Fox because it doesn't have...
Yes.
Politics, right?
Right.
I didn't know much about Bill O'Reilly. He interviewed me back in the 90s when he wasn't on. He was,
yeah.
I think it was on.
Yeah, I was on
the
show once
else.
In the very beginning. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He seemed like a normal person. But I saw some of his clips.
Yeah.
And I was shocked at his racism. I just saw them two days ago.
Right. Yeah.
And I was shocked at his racism. And it was such a popular show. And I thought, okay, this is why Trump was elected, because people believe this stuff.
No, I mean, Alexandra, I've talked about this on the show, but, you know, we call her my 93-year-old Republican Trump-voting mom. I mean, my dad ran with Barry Goldwater. My mom is a good Republican, but she only watches Fox
That's
News.
That's your dad?
That's my daddy.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a daddy's
He's
girl.
He's handsome.
Thank you.
I'll give him that.
But I mean, it is heartbreaking, Alexandra, and we've talked about this. This is what is ripping, you know, friends and families apart is that, and I, you know, I love my mom and she loves me and, we still talk and whatever, but it's hard. We can't talk about politics. I talked to her, what was it, Vanessa, a few weeks ago. She's like, oh, well, I just think he's doing beautifully. And I didn't even know, like, literally the last time I was there and I tried to talk about politics, when we talked about it, every single thing she said was some sort of Fox News talking point, and I just had to go, well, Mom, but that's not true.
Yeah.
That's just not true. And I think there are good-hearted people like my mother that just watch Fox News or listen to right-wing radio, and they just, we literally are in a world of alternative facts where science doesn't matter, where all the issues you and I don't, like, and that's what's hard is...
We can't come to an agreement on what actual facts are, you know, whether it's climate
change
or this or that. There's no set
just
of one
today,
facts.
I found out that someone that grifted me is going to prison.
Good.
I don't know whether these Trump voters will ever go, oh, we're not horrible people. We really got conned. We really believed that he was going to bring
coal back. I heard that
they're
not changing their mind.
Not now. Not yet. But
I do. I think that there was something to be said for the fact that I didn't realize there were all these folks that thought so differently from me, but basically differently, like the racism.
Yeah.
And sexism.
Yeah.
And the
homophobia, all of it.
Homophobia.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. And that is part of probably me and my own bubble that was part of the criticism of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I was just doing my thing in my little bubble. And
no, it's
really
true. We're all in our bubbles, but but at some point you go like, but their facts are just, they're not facts because they're wrong. You just can't, like, at some point you can't go, oh, both sides do it,
Fox?
And we have one side of facts, and we just disagree. Yeah. Like, it's not that anymore.
I have a little bit just for work to kind of get clips and stuff, so I have to be mindful, but I get these, when you say it all the time, it gets in their head. I can see why a Trump, my dad's black, my mom's Mexican, they both voted for Trump.
What?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because, I know.
The economy?
No, they were just, they go, we come from an old school where you work really, really hard, and it's these people who complain are lazy. And if you don't like your health care, get a better job. I worked in a factory. if you don't like, you know, we worked really hard. We had nothing. So people coming over who are working and getting tax breaks and going to college for free need to go back. That's exactly what they're telling me.
But the irony is that Trump didn't start from the bottom.
Right, exactly.
And he's not going to help. And even his cabinet shows that he's not interested in the folks that your parents are talking about. But they still are staunch.
They're stalling. And my dad's like, Trump's going to help the VA. He's going to do, you know, it's like this guy is a draft dodger five times over. And, you know, he's signing stuff.
And sending us into all these unnecessary.
Purple Heart. You remember that Purple Heart?
Oh, my God. But sending them now, Alexander, and all these ridiculous, unnecessary military excursions.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know how you change. Even if Trump's gone, there's still 25% of the population who voted for him. How do you change those mindsets of the racist, the sexist attitude, the xenophobia? That's going to take some time to go away.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is, like, younger people hate him as much as
right. Because he had the Bernie, a lot of the Bernie energy that of young people who are just against everything Trump's about. So.
Yeah.
And what's happening to the whole world, though? I mean, in France, the same thing is kind of happening.
And, and Russia's involved there, too. Right. I mean, that's why this is a big deal. Yeah. It's why it should be a big deal. Not if you're Bernie, Hillary, Democrat, Republican. Yeah. If you're an American, this should be a big deal to you, what's happening in this country and around the world with Russia. I mean, you know, Malcolm Nance, our good friend, he said it in this book. He said Putin wanted Trump because he wanted to destabilize the United States, hurt their economy, blow up NATO and the EU. And that is exactly what he's doing, and it's terrifying. Yeah. And you know, I feel like we're in a race against the clock before World War III, because this motherfucker starts World War III to distract from this, because the net is tightening, and you know.
And he also likes his poll numbers to go up, and war always makes somebody's poll numbers go up in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, we can't criticize him now. Remember, you know, Commander in Chief, you can't, you know.
Yeah, just stand behind your president.
I got Vanessa. We got to figure some shit out. I need a lot more bail money for Alexander Paul.
I know, because I am
a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're gonna be very busy the next few.
And I may need to go with our hot lesbian sister to bring the bail money to jail. No, honey, tell your fiance to stay home. We got this. We're gonna go. I'm sorry I brought this down to such depth, Alexandra. You're doing such fantastic work, and I made it all about me and my carnal needs. And I apologize. How do we follow you on Facebook, Twitter?
Oh my God, I'm so silly. Okay, my Facebook is Alexandra _Paul.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
And my Twitter is Alexandra_actress.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's my Instagram.
Okay.
And my Twitter is Alexandra_Paul.
Okay.
So just put
and
in Alexandra
and
Paul
what's the coaching?
You'll see me. A health coach on Facebook.
Okay.
I should know this, and I'm so you must know this because you know more about me. I said it already.
We'll post it on
the regular. I need
to
know that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So and we should have you on the regular show because you're all fancy and stuff. About political things. Normally, this is a lot of drinking and swearing. You were too classy for all that. So you will have to come back on the regular dignified morning show.
Because she's perfect.
Because she's perfect in every way.
Yes.
And we could not drag her to our level. She didn't drink. She didn't swear. We couldn't bring her down. She's on too high a chakra for us, Vanessa.
When we go low, she goes high.
Yeah, right? We just kept going lower, trying to drag her down. She kept going higher. Alexandra Paul.
You are so sweet, Stephanie. Thank you for having me on. Vanessa, thank you very much.
Thank you. You are just, you're too much. It's too much. You are too much. We love you, Alexandra Paul.
Thank you.